1 John chapter 5, verse 6 through 13. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bear witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God have made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record: that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Precious Lord, thank you, Father God, because we live in crazy times, and it is refreshing to know that when this life is over, when this life is over, we can rest assured, Father God, that life will only begin for those who love the Lord and those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I sit here and I look at what John is doing as he closes out this great first epistle. And in chapter 5, he's rounding it up. Oh, excuse me, this thing just bumps. And I can't get it low enough. Try it there. And we learn in the first part of John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, we see that victorious life of the believer. Okay? He says the believer has victory over the world. I hope you guys feel victorious. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about on the good days. See, a lot of folks get it all mixed up, and now I'm having a good week. I'm having a good month, and I feel like God is with me. No. If you're having a bad week or a bad month, you ought to feel like God is with you.
Amen.
And as we learned this morning, sometimes that bad days, sometimes them days when you don't want to train, you don't want to work out, you don't want to read, you don't want to study, guess what? God is still with you, because
Amen.
If he wasn't, you wouldn't even have those urges. You wouldn't even have those thoughts. I sat here this morning and looked at the Sunday school class, and we have a big Sunday school book, and I could see that this class had studied, and they had looked over the scriptures and looked over the lesson, and that's refreshing. That's refreshing to know. Because those aren't easy lessons. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that began, loveth him also that is begotten. So we see the victory. We see the victory. For whosoever is born of God, how about this, overcometh the world. Okay, now I deal with people, I talk to people, and I see the struggles that I see they're going through, and I know they don't have victory. Say, the world is a worthy opponent. Okay. Peter called Satan a worthy adversary. He gonna put up a fight. Okay. He gonna put up a fight. He ain't gonna lay on the mat. He gonna keep getting up, and he gonna keep hitting. He gonna keep swinging. And the only way you gonna defeat him, you gonna have to swing that sword. What Paul calls it in Ephesians? The sword of the Lord, the word of God. So, look at our lesson today. Okay. Got a lot of stuff. I'm going to cover it though. Verse number 10. Stopped at verse number 9 last week. Verse number 10. Now when I put the lesson together, I said, well, I'm going to get all the way to verse 13. Then I hit verse 10 and I got stonewalled.
Mm-hmm.
I got stonewalled. Let me read verse number 10 and see how many lessons that you find in verse, just verse 10. Just verse 10. Okay? It says, let me take this off. That's my cover page. Verse number 10. He said, he that believeth on the Son of God have the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God have made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. So right off the top, I got he that believeth on the Son. Who is that? He that hath the witness in himself. What is it like to have a witness inside of you? Now, if you're a child of God, born of the Spirit, you have the witness of God dwelling in you. Okay? Okay? And it ain't always comfortable. See, folks, I'm walking around and I'm blessed, too blessed to be stressed, too blessed. No, no. If you got the witness of God in you, it ain't always comfortable. Because you ain't always going to do what you want to do.
Amen.
Okay? Now, look at the next point. He that believeth not God, who is that? What's that look like? And then it says this, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. So if you have not God, you basically saying God's word is a book of fairy tales and Aesop stories, and I don't believe it. God is just lying about it. Man, I don't be standing next to that person on any day, huh? You know? Yeah, I don't want to listen. You call it God a lie. He that believeth on the Son. Now that word believeth, fascinating word. I've covered it so many times because it's just such a powerful word. Yeah, I believe it's one of the biggest words in the Bible. It's a word that if you don't understand what it means to believe, you probably gonna miss a whole lot about what this word, what this Bible's talking about. Okay? Listen, let me say it one more time. Verse number 10. He that believeth. Okay? What's the meaning of believe? See, you can believe for a little while. You can believe something for a little while. Then you can believe something for a longer while. Then you can believe something even longer. But true belief is total commitment. Okay? Like somebody said earlier this morning, to the end. We've been talking about parables on Wednesday night, and this one parable sort of sums up this word believe, okay, in a way that sort of pulled everything out for me. In Luke chapter 8, we see the parable of the soils, and we've gone over this one a couple of times, but in light of Wednesday night studies and in light of this lesson, kind of pushes some things to the forefront. It says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. So they hear. They hear. Good ears. They don't have no hearing problems. They hear. They understand. They understand the demands of the word. They understand what the word is going to require of them. They understand all that. And then come their buddy. Then come the person that they serve. It says, those that are by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, okay, and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Just take it out of their hearts. Child love too ain't easy to do. He takes the word out of your hearts, and then it says something that I've seen it over the years, but I never looked at it this way. Okay. Why? It tells you why. The Word of God tells you why the Satan comes and takes the Word out of the hearts of this first type of hearer. Watch what it says. Lest they should believe and be saved. Let me tell you something. The last thing Satan ever wants is a person to hear the Word, believe the word, and be saved. Okay? This is why I sit here and I wonder why a lot of people say, listen, preacher, preach the word. And a lot of preachers won't preach the word. They'll go all the way around. They'll preach all kind of stuff. But they won't get up in the people's business and preach the word of God with that authority, because only the word going to save you.
Amen.
Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's the first kind of believer. Satan don't want him. Satan, he serves Satan. And Satan said, listen, if you take that word and believe it, you're going to be saved. And if you say, you can't say certain Satan. Verse 13, watch this. They on the rock are they. Now Jesus is explaining this parable. Now he's talking about the ones on the rock, not the rock that Peter talked about. Not the rock that Jesus called Peter when he says, you know, when Peter said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God called Peter the rock. He said, he called him Peter the rock, or that rock, like he said. Not talking about that kind of rock. We're talking about a plant and this planet, and the person who planted the plant didn't get all the rocks out. And the seed has landed on top of a rock, and it roots can only go down a little bit. See, there's a lot of Christians today whose roots have only gone down a little bit. Okay, and then when stuff happens, when it get cold outside and it rains, it don't matter, because when your root system is low, you got a lot of excuses why you can't serve God, because your root system is low. You know, you need to just call the excavators and say, hey, look, my root system, you know, call Roto-Rooter, whatever, whoever you would call if you had a problem in your yard. You know, we have that problem here. The roots get in the pipe. We have to call people and come out, get the roots out. You know, get the rocks and the debris out. Some of us got too much debris under us. Okay. So they are on a rock. Watch this now. Which when they hear, with understanding, they receive the word of God with joy. That's the word from the day. I needed to hear that, Pastor. That was such a wonderful word. I hear that stuff. I don't hear it as often as some people do, but I've heard it once or twice. And they hear the word, they see, he received with joy. They say, Pastor, that was a great word. It was, you spoke to me today. It's like you was with me all weekend. You know what I'm going through. I remember preaching at a church, and a woman was there, and she was pregnant. She was well pregnant, you know, showing. And I was a guest preacher, you know. And I didn't know her. I didn't even see her. And I'm preaching, and I hit it with my pro-life thing and all that. And you need to keep them babies. Y'all just killing all these babies, and we killing all our people. We ain't gonna have no people. After the church service was over, she walked up to me, all pregnant. She said, thank you, because everybody that I talked to told me I need to have an abortion.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the church didn't want to hear that. They didn't call me. That was one church I was a candidate at, and they was like, we don't want to hear that kind of preaching. Preach. The rock they are, watch this, let me stay on course. And when they hear the word, they receive the word, how in joy. And that's how we ought to receive the word, with joy. Okay? The gospel is good news. But it says these have no root, which for a while believe. That's to scare you. For a while believe. What's that mean, for a while believe? They believe for a little while. They believe for a while. Okay? So temporary. And in a time of temptation, because they have no roots, in a time of temptation, watch this now, fall away. All right? So, what are these temptations? A lot of stuff can cause you to fall away. Okay? Relationships. You get saved and your loved one don't get saved. If you get saved, your boo don't get saved. If you get saved, your wife don't get saved. If you get saved and you come home talking, I'm saved now. We got to make this relationship right. It's me or God. You in that church, you cook too many pies and all that kind of stuff. See, and then you fall away. I like this third one. I don't know. For some reason, I think this third one is a lot of us, a lot of the church. It says in verse 14, it says that which fell upon the thorns, which when they heard, when they have heard, they go forth. Now these people hear a word and they love it, they embrace it, and now they're getting ready to go forth. Okay? Look at what Jesus says. Now these are Jesus' words. If this is the King James Bible, this is Jesus on red. Watch what he says. And he says, and they heard the word, they're going forth and are choked with cares. Is there anything scarier than someone choking? Is there anything scarier than someone's choking? Think about it. Someone, you know, a baby's eating something and all of a sudden they start choking. Now, most of your first aid classes teach you the universal sign of someone truly choking. If they can still talk, they're really not in any danger. But if they go, you know, then you got to move. If you don't move fast enough, baby pass out, different things. Now you got to do the Heimlich maneuver on babies. They got different ways to do it. But another way I look at it is choking. I think that's the gentle way. I think the cares of the world choke you like an MMA fighter. Okay? I think that's how the world chokes most of us. I mean, whoop! And they just choking you. And then the referee will put your arm up and you just choke you out. In the world, this is saying something. You try to go forth. And I see this all the time. I see it all the time with folks. They can't go forth, okay? Because they got too much stuff. It's too much stuff, okay? You know, they got their boys. They got the birthday parties and Christmas parties and Thanksgiving parties and vacations and Halloween. We got job. We got visa. We got master. Can't find a babysitter. We got too many boyfriends, not enough boyfriends, and all this stuff will choke you out. Choke you out. Will choke you out. Now watch what Jesus says. Because I don't know how far I get with these sermons. I got a lot of pages, but I'm going to go where God goes. Well, watch what he says about this last one. Okay? He said, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, watch this, having heard the word, heard it, understand what it means, understand the demands of it, understand the requirements of it, understand what it means to be a man of God, understand what it means to be a woman of God. They heard the word. Okay? They're not choked. They're not on a rock. They tell the devil to go away. Watch what they do. They keep it. They keep it. That word keep means they value it. They treasure it. They worship it. They praise it. They love it. They nourish it. They see it as something valuable. And watch the results. And bring forth fruit. With patience. With patience. With patience. He that believeth on the Son. That word believe. I get that out of the way. Have a witness in himself. See, a lot of folks say, I don't know if I have the Spirit of God. I don't know. Yes, you do. You know why? Because it's something that lives in you. It's something that is in you. And it's something that speaks to you and talks to you. It's something that guides you. Something that you love. Everything you love, you know you love. Everything you love, you know you love. If you sit here today, you will know right away, do I love the Lord enough? Do I love the Lord enough? Okay? He says, he that believeth on the Son hath witness in himself. Okay? Let me give you a couple of verses. Just a couple of verses. Here's Judas talking to Jesus, not Judas Iscariot. Okay, John 14. Watch the question he answers. But most of all, watch how God answers him. Watch how God answers him. Judas said unto him, talking to Jesus, he, and it says, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, How is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered, said unto him, if a man love me, okay? If a man love me, he will keep my words. There's that word keep again. And my Father will love him. See, God loves you when you love him. When you keep his word, okay? Watch this. And we, anybody got any trouble with Jesus? Because I call Jesus God and I'll interchange him, okay? Because he says this, let me go back a little bit. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now watch what he says. Watch what he says. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How about that? Okay? So you're going to have something in you.
That's right.
You're going to have something in you. David wrote in Psalms 25, he says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him.
Amen.
Okay? I could give you more. I can give you more. But I won't. I'm going to keep moving. He that believeth on the Son, verse 10. I've got to do 2 points. But he that believeth not God, that's a rascal person. He that believeth not God. Now, the person who believes in God has that witness in himself. He has that witness in himself. Okay? He knows. He knows what God has done for him. He knows who God is. He speaks to him. He walks him. He trusts God. Okay? He says, like Isaiah, the Lord God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also become my salvation. That's the greatest prophet that ever lived. We share that with him. Don't look like Isaiah. Isaiah was nothing special like that. He was a man just like us. I think that's what the word of God said. Okay? About Ezekiel. So we could be on that same love. Same, we could love God the same way these great prophets did. But what about this person who don't believe God? Anybody know anybody like that? See, we would think everybody believes God. Everybody believes God. I got a couple calls last night, texts about people I need to see this week, or who I don't need to see. Or we get calls about people who come on the caseload. We always add people on the hospice. And two of them, one was in my county and one was in another county. And immediately they say, no chaplain. And they were young people. 50s and 60s with some serious stuff going on. And I'm always disturbed by that. Because I just believe God can do some wonderful, wonderful things. But if you don't believe God, you put yourself behind the eight ball. And we need to really talk to the people that we know in our lives that don't believe God. I know it can be daunting. Okay, but we have to ask the question, why don't you believe God? Okay? And it can't be because of the preacher. I don't believe God because of the preacher. I don't believe God because, you know, any excuse to do. Okay? Hold on. I'm there. God can't be a liar. God can't be a liar. He can't lie. Deuteronomy says, God is not a man. That tells you one thing right there. God is not a man that he should lie. Okay? Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. God ain't got nothing to repent about, and Jesus ain't got nothing to repent about. Okay? So when we look at the text, we say, well, Why don't you believe? Loved one, co-worker, friend, why don't you believe God? We talked about this morning at Sunday school. You know why people don't believe? Christine looks at me. Me and Christine talk. We got some folks in our lives that don't believe. Don't want nothing to do with the things of God. All of us do. We got folks. Why not? God is good.
Amen.
God is good. And a lot of times when God looks at us, when he looks at believers, you know, when I look at Jacob, I think about some of his family members that don't believe. And they look at us and they see God has done something in our lives. And you would think, okay, I got loved ones that's struggling, loved ones going through, co-workers that I see going through all the time. And I'm sitting like, why don't you believe? I think y'all know the answers. Because it's going to cost something. Okay? It's going to cost something. You know, and I think when I go back, let me go back and I talk about the rich young ruler. And I talk about the rich young ruler a lot. The rich young ruler came to the Lord. He wanted salvation. Okay? He wanted to be saved. He wanted to go to heaven when he died. Okay? What happened? Think about his story. And I know y'all know he came running. The Bible says he came running. He kneeled down to the Lord. And when he kneeled down, what kneeled down with him? Satan kneeled down with him. All his cares, all his riches, all his pleasures, his whole life lay down with him. Mm-hmm. Lay down with him. And his life spoke to him and said, rich young ruler, if you give your life to the Lord, it's going to cost you everything. And the rich young ruler knew that. He knew that. The Bible said he knew that. He looked at the Lord. The Bible said the Lord looked at him and loved him. And he walked away. So when people say they don't believe, the Bible said when they say that, they make God a liar because God is good. Okay? God is good. And what don't they believe? I've heard some excuses over the years. Listen. Like I say, it's old wife stories. Oh, what they call it, witch tales and all kind of stuff. You know, it's not. God has been good all along, okay? So the lost person will say, well, you crazy. I think some of my loved ones think I'm crazy.
Amen.
Okay? I'm fine with that.
Amen.
I'm fine with that because I believe Peter walked on water.
Amen.
And they say, ha ha. I believe Jesus fed 5,000 people. I believe he fed 5,000, probably 20,000 with counting the kids. And I believe that. Okay? I do. I believe that Jesus lowered a man down to the roof. I believe he lowered a man down, like he's preaching today, and he lowered a man down to the roof, and Jesus healed him. I believe that.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I believe that. I believe that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a great fish. See, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now somebody says, why do you believe it and I don't? Because God has given me the faith to believe that.
Amen.
God has empowered me to believe that. And when your loved one tells you, I don't believe that, then you say, why don't you believe that? Because you not believing that is you calling God a liar.
Right.
You're saying God is a liar. Well, I believe that God parted the Red Sea. I believe it. He parted the Red Sea and they walked across. Okay? Okay? Ha ha, that's it. You know what I believe most of all? Folks, they say, oh, yeah, I hear it all the time. Oh, that Easter stuff. You know, Easter is of the devil. And I don't celebrate Easter. I don't celebrate Easter. I tell them I don't really celebrate Christmas. Okay? I celebrate the day that Christ was born. And if they have to celebrate it on the 25th, I celebrate it on the 25th. Okay? And I don't celebrate Easter, but I know one thing.
Amen.
I know that. Amen. He rose. Okay? I don't know what day he rose on, but he rose.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And he rose. And you ha ha that. Okay? And he rose. I believe this story. Here's one of, and I got all these stories. Here's one of the greatest stories in the Bible, and I'm crazy enough to believe it. He says in Luke 13:10, watch this. This is a fascinating story. Somebody said, well, that's a feel-good story. It may be a feel-good story to you, it ain't a feel-good story to me. To me, it's the Word of God, and it's the power of God on display through the person of Jesus Christ. And it says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight. She was made straight. And glorify God. And glorify God. Amen. So, let me finish. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Mm-hmm. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, verse 11. And this is the record. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but through me. Here's the record. Here's the record. I'm going to give you some verses. Here's the record. He died for us.
Amen.
He died for us. Romans 5:8 said, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's Revelation 1:18. I like this verse. I had a couple, but I circled this one. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. I like that. And behold, let me say it again, Mom. I am he that liveth. This is Jesus talking. And was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. Amen. Then this is rare in the Bible. After an amen, there's some more words in this verse. Just like he almost, wait a minute, don't forget this. I said amen, but don't forget this. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Okay? He was raised for us. He died for us. He lives in us. We talk about him living in us. He lives. He lives. I know my Savior lives. Okay? Paul knew that. Paul was a wicked, evil man, but this is what he wrote. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. He has died for us, raised for us, lives in us. He has redeemed us. I like that word. That's one of my favorite Bible words, redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is every one that hangeth on a tree. How about that? Let me give you just a couple more. Just a couple more. Because we need to know the record. This is the record. This is the record that God has left for us. He died for us. He raised for us. He redeemed us. He lives in us. And because he died, remember where we was at. Remember where we was at. We was lost. We was away from God. We was far away. Okay? None of us was born saved. Folks, it don't matter. Your parents were saved, and your grandparents were saved, and your father was a pastor. You still got to be born again.
Amen.
Okay? No, I heard one preacher say, you know, I was born a Christian. I was born in a Christian family. No, you could be born in a Christian family and be the biggest devil.
Amen.
Don't mean nothing that your parents went to church all the time, because they had to get theirs, and you're going to have to get yours. He brings us near to him. I like Paul. Paul was just talking his life. Paul was away from God. Paul was a troublemaker. Paul was a rebel riser. Paul hated church. He hated Christians. He hated Jesus. And he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, I hear him calling my name, far off, are made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. Watch this. He brings us near to him. He redeems us. He was raised for us. He strengthens us. Some people need some strength. You hear me pray all the time. If you ever ask me to pray, I'm going to pray. God, give me strength. God, give me strength. I got a couple people, 95, 90, 95 and 93. Both, they just want to die. I said, just be patient. Just be patient. Ask God to give you strength. Okay. Ask God to give you strength. Ask God to give you patience. Okay. And the verses that I go through, Paul says this when he needed strength, when he was going through. Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Okay? Because if it was on my strength, I can do this.
Amen.
I can do this. No. Well, how many weeks in a year? 52 weeks straight, Sunday school, Bible study, you know, working in hospice, retiring, working, raising families, raising grandkids. You can't do this on your own.
Amen.
And I see a lot of people struggle. They sit there and struggle and they fight. They go, oh, the world caving in on me. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Listen, you tapped into the wrong thing.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Basically, the opposite of that is I can't do nothing through the strength, through my own strength. And we try to do all we can do. And then we'll turn to God. We'll hear people say, well, I can do all I can. Now I'm going to pray. No, you need to start on your knees.
That's right.
Start on your knees. Colossians 1:11, Paul says this, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Last two verses. Paul, again, Paul, because he's been through so much. Is God the object of our concentration? When we think about life, where is God at? If we would write a book about our life, how many chapters would God take up? How many chapters would be about God and what he's done in your life? Okay? My buddy, I had a buddy that I went to school with, and he wrote a book. He's a Wall Street banker. Big time Wall Street banker. His name was Derek Penn. He played football for Duke. He was a really smart guy. You know, we played football together. He wrote a book. I don't know how the book is doing. I read some of it on Amazon. And I'm reading. And it's talking about Youngstown, talking about all his friends, talking about playing football, talking about his life. And nothing about God. Nothing. Sometimes you can hit the surface and just see if God is ever mentioned. Nothing. Paul says this to the believer in the Colossian church, and the believers are struggling. Just like our church. Not you guys, but the folks that just struggle to get here, struggle to come. You know, they'll call and say, hey, I ain't coming no more. You know, if you haven't been here in 2 years, you don't need to call me and tell me you know, I ain't coming no more. See, somebody called me, I haven't been in church in 2 years, and then they call me and say, I ain't coming no more. I'm going to withdraw my membership. Ain't sent no money in 2 years. Not that it means anything, but listen, I'm still alive. Here's a fin. Ain't that crazy? Not that we ain't chasing no money here. Listen, we ain't chasing no money here. I'm satisfied. I know I'm gonna be a freest driver for the rest of my life.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I understand that, but you know what? Show some signs. Hey, look, Pastor, you know, we got, it's the COVID is out here, and it's trouble. Here, listen, we can't make it, but here's 50. You know? Here's 10. Okay. The pastor ain't calling me. The pastor, working three jobs, then had COVID. Ain't nobody called me. Ain't that crazy?
Amen.
If you, excuse me, Toya, if you then be risen with Christ, she looks so dignified today. If you then be risen with Christ, watch this. Seek those things which are above.
Amen.
Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Set your, that's a missionary word. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Here you go, Paul. For ye are dead and your life is hid in Christ. And when, here we go. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall also appear with him in glory. Now, we don't want to call God a liar. I don't want nobody here to say, no, I don't believe God. Okay. I just, because God has a word. God has a word for that. And I think this is the trouble we run into today. And I think COVID, I think the pandemic or the plandemic, whatever you want to call it. Okay? I think it's proving us, it's challenging us who we are. Okay? Finding out if we fear for, if we truly believe. And I know I said, I'm almost done. Let me get this one verse that I want you to understand. Revelation 21:7. Watch this now. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is God talking. But then he goes into verse 8 and he says this, and these are, call you out, challenge anybody who's hearing my voice today. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let me tell you something. Those are words. Like when Jesus said, Lord, Lord, that day many are going to say, Lord, Lord. Those are frightening words. I hope that we understand what John is saying. We need to know that we have eternal life. We need to know that God is true. Let the word of God be true. And what? Every man a liar. He that believeth God, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God has given. God has given us a great record. He's given us a great record. He's given us ample proof. We should be walking epistles of God's goodness. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for John's powerful testimony of God's goodness. Thank you for the challenge. These are difficult times. These are not only difficult times. These are horrific times. The Bible said in the last day there will be perilous times. We are living in perilous times. I have no time to waste in declaring God's goodness and God's grace. Folks are dying and folks are getting sick and dying, and the church is playing. Father, it's serious business, and we just want to say, continue to empower us. Make a testimony, Father God. We leave here today. Let us go out into the highways and byways and challenge people. Why don't you believe God? Why don't you believe God? Father God, give us that kind of faith, that kind of faith, that kind of testimony, that kind of evangelistic spirit, so we can go out into a mean world, a world that hates you, and still declare your goodness. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.